Yes.
Okay.
I believe it's working.
Yes, it looks working. Thank you. So welcome to the ORAN software community meeting, POC call for November 4th, 2020. Our scribe for today is Masumi-san. And we'll go ahead and do roll call. I'm Jack Murray from AT&T. Jinri. All right. So it doesn't seem like Jinri is on. David.
Hi, this is David from Deutsche Telekom.
Thank you. John Paul.
Morning, Jack. Hello, everybody. John Paul here.
Masafumi-san?
Yes, hi, this is Masafumi. I'm here.
Juha?
Yes, hello everybody. Juha is here.
William? Okay. Ganesh?
Good morning, Jack. Hi everyone, this is Ganesh.
And Vishwa? Okay, so... So we have six members, so we have enough to meet the quorum requirements. So we'll move forward with the meeting and be able to vote on items. Let's first do the minutes for the meeting on 10/28. John Paul was the scribe for that meeting. And the minutes are captured here as well as the recording. Is there anyone that has any questions, corrections, or adjustments to the minutes? All right, John Paul, you want to make a motion to accept the minutes?
Yep, I'll make the motion.
Do I have a second?
Kevin here, I will second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Did you hit on the floor, aren't they? Or maybe on the left seat.
Sorry, did somebody say something? I didn't. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Yoha says aye.
Masakami saying aye.
Ganesh saying aye.
John Paul saying aye.
All those against say nay. Okay, we've accepted the minutes from the meeting, last week's meeting, and we'll continue forward with our agenda. The first item is does anyone have anything to add to the agenda for today?
Yeah, Jack, I want to bring up something about CII badging update. Okay, like 2 minutes. Yeah.
Okay, can we put that under your section or do
yeah,
we
sure.
You'll take, okay. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have anything? All right. There's an item for Thoroff here. When do we cut the cherry release item as listed here? Let's spend some time on that because I think there's a couple of items here which really have to do with the release planning. So if we go to, you know, our release planning activity and really look at the C release, you'll see that we're right here in the middle of the Sprint 4 demo. cycle, and that the release is supposed to be on December 12th. So at this time, the we're going through the integrated test for Sprint 4, looking at each of the different pieces to demo, PTL and projects to demo what they've completed now for not just demo Sprint 4, but, for the work that's been wrapped up. I think the one project that is, stretching the most is the one that started late, in the SMO. So we know that that's trying to get some things done here and working through this cycle. But here in 2 weeks, we'll be entering the final end-to-end test and wrap-up cycle, defect management. We need to, Felix needs to work with the LF team to run the license scan and clean up any outstanding issues there. And the documentation should be a focus during this time. So, the week of the 23rd, we have a, have a documentation review that should be, up to date and complete. And essentially, we need to write a summary of what is coming out in this release for everyone and pull together the package so that we can review it here at the beginning of December so that we're ready for release. So that's the current Cherry release cycle. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
So are we, the code freeze was supposed to be week 40. I think we need some extension for that. There's some projects that I at least know about where we do not have the final code in the repo yet.
Well, is it, I guess the concern we have now is how much of it is, no code in versus some incremental changes versus code defects, right? So when you say that there's code still needs to come in, is it large amounts of code that are sitting out there that haven't been tested or looked at yet? Or is it some specific pieces of a bigger release? I guess in your case, you're talking about the XApps.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, to my knowledge, well, we were hoping to get the machine learning version of the QP XApp in this release. And to my knowledge, I haven't checked it this morning, but to my knowledge, that machine learning based code that would actually learn and predict the performance is not in the repo yet. But I'll find out later today if it has been actually put there.
Okay. You know, we would like to see that the code is there as soon as possible. And if, we still have defects, fixes against it that can be updated. So that the question is, how close is it and what state it's in? And clarifying how we'll close on that item would be helpful. So that's kind of what this Sprint 4 demo window being 3 weeks wide gives us a little bit of flexibility, but we really need to be bringing the code into the repos so that we can start running scans and packing things up, something like that might be a new kind of code repo scanning process. I don't know what language it's written in or how it's created. There's a variety of options, but you know, it'll be harder for the integration and test team to pull things together and make a final package that's available and branch if the code's coming at the last second. So let's get an update on it this week and find out where we're at.
Okay. Yeah, we have a meeting with Felix actually today. So I'm hoping that we'll find out what the status of that code is in that meeting.
Okay. Who's the lead for that piece of software?
This is, well, AT&T and specifically Guy is leading that piece.
All right. Very good. All right. So that's a big goal here, you know, staying on track for Cherry. Next week will be an important discussion about, you know, where we're at. Is there any other PTLs? I'm kind of jumping around here, but does any other PTLs have any major outstanding items or concerns other than SMO?
We on WIC platform side, we still have a few items open.
Okay.
I would have to check just a second the meeting minutes. Well, let's just say there are like two or three items still open.
Are they, you know, kind of in the, how open, I guess back to the same kind of question, how open are they? Are they, you know, are they being contributed and just trying to fix and make them work and they're being tested, or we're still waiting for the software to show up?
We have three items where it says commit coming, review ongoing, status last week. And then two items which we have, it says finished over the next few weeks. So in the worst case, those will not make it.
Okay. Well, you know, let's see what we can pull in here in the next week and a half, right before the 14th.
Well, I think what we should kind of settle on is like a code freeze date. So when do we expect, or after which everything that goes in has to be especially managed? So especially managed means it's a defect, or somehow we say this is acceptable that it comes late.
You know, the way we've kind of set up the schedule, we have that flexibility kind of to the 14th. After the 14th, we need to cut it off. So trying to be a little flexible here, but you know, the defect block, you know, in later November and early December really needs to be reserved for, you know, really deciding what's in and fixing any smaller defects that are in. So I would say that the 14th is the absolute cutoff for any code to make it inside of the release, unless someone else has a different perspective.
I agree. I think sounds reasonable. Matti, how does that fit with your leftover work?
Yeah, I think that sounds good.
You know, I think that's kind of the intent of this IST sprint for demo is start testing what we can and then sorting out what remains.
So Jack,
go ahead.
For the DU pairwise testing, you know, there is this timer mode testing and radio mode testing. We've completed the timer mode testing in OSC lab. But for the radio mode testing, that's still kind of ongoing. I don't know if we will make that testing. I mean, the initial DU low and DU high pairwise testing has kind of completed, or at least it has started, and some test messages have completed. We wanted to make more progress with the DURU, interaction where you need the front hall gateway and the RU emulator. It's getting there, but I don't think we'll make the 14th. I don't know, maybe Zimin or...
Testing, the question is all the code in the repos that you're testing?
Code, sometimes, we find things and...
Well, defects are different.
I mean,
right? So that's what the defect and end-to-end testing window is, right? I think what we're trying to say is by the 14th, all the code, we're cutting off any new code really coming in the sense of blocks of code that need to be tested. The defect and end-to-end testing window still should support defect fixes in that code that's more or less there, but it has to be, practical updates, right? During that window. I think that's the intent. The intent is if big blocks of code come in after the 14th, there's just really no time to integrate and test them.
That's fine.
Yeah. And to find any defects, right? We have people out there who are trying to use these code blocks. I know John's Kearney has been interacting with some Felix, Madi, and others. So we do need to make sure that we're bringing this to a state where people can really start to download and use it, because we have interested parties out there in looking at this, and so you have to keep in mind that that's really the major aspect of this release process, is bringing things up to a point where others can start to use it, look at it, and move forward with things from a relatively stable perspective. So that's a big part of the goal. All right. Now, since we're on this, let's see, release planning. The D release, let's just take a quick look. And, what we typically did last year, and I'd like to kind of repeat, is that we'll take a break here at the end of December. After the release of after the C release, and that the schedule shows us starting up the first week of January for the D release. So we need to start talking about what's going to be in the D release. Obviously, the early cycles are all about the epics identification and user stories and functionality that we're going to really lock in on the D release. So this is an important, process. We get consumed with the deliveries. Also, as you can see in the schedule, there's a maintenance window here that we look at if people, if there are things that we discover after the release, people come back with defects or other problems that we need to clean up in the cherry release. We have, a few weeks to take a look at a maintenance update. And so at the end of January, we'll do a maintenance update to the C release. So this gives the developers a place to focus their activities while the planning is done with the RSAC and across all the teams on exactly what we're going to try to accomplish in the D release and what are the main themes that we're doing in the D release. And so starting to really focus on that. And that brings up the next item is, David, you've in the past done the naming. Maybe we should start a poll for the naming of the E release, which will be the second half of the year. And let's look at names. Hopefully we can get a better choice of names than we had for the D, and let's try to find a fairly useful name for the e-release. All right, let's all right. Any Thoroff, any other questions or clarity on the Cherry release?
No.
Okay. All right, so then we'll move on to votes and approvals. Is there any outstanding votes and approvals that are outstanding that aren't closed at this time? Okay, let's get on to the copyright issue. It's been a busy time at the EC because of the board meeting. It was kind of dominated by the elections. The ORAN board elections only occur once every 2 years. So there was an election process. There was, they've voted on, I think Andre Buich from AT&T was reelected as chair of the board, and a number of items have, progressed, discussed at the board meeting level. Obviously a big emphasis is the train, the November train for specifications, a lot of announcements in the previous months about alignment with other organizations like TIP and ONF that we've talked about in the past. That's kind of if Jinri was here, I think he's probably, the other thing is we've kind of done our, in the US, we've done our time shifting, daylight savings time, so it may have played with some people's calendars. But that's kind of where we're at right now. We did not make much progress on the copyright issue this week. Again, I'm still waiting for an email from, I poked at, I'm just double checking before I say anything, just didn't come in while I did not see anything from Scott Nicholas at the Linux Foundation on the copyright blog. I've sent a message off to him to get see where he is on that promised update. So that's kind of where we're at in terms of the copyright.
Sorry, Jack, can you just expand a little bit on what you mean by the copyright blog?
So Linux Foundation is publishing, Scott Nicholas from the Linux Foundation is publishing a blog on Linux Foundation's perspective on copyright management from an open source perspective. So the goal here is to more clearly articulate what organizations like 3GPP, Etsy, and others might need to consider when looking at supporting open source communities and what they need in terms of copyright permissions from their specifications. A lot of that has to do with how the copyright granting and things are done in a broader perspective. So at least it, you know, I was trying to use that as a way to give assist these organizations with information on how the open source community looks at their needs for this issue to be addressed. So it's strictly from a Linux Foundation open source perspective, but you know, it still needs to go through, you know, review on Linux Foundation side and stuff before he can publish it. So it's somewhere in that process, but I didn't get an update from him on that. Do you have questions? Does that clarify it, John?
Yeah, sure, but it clarifies what they're trying to do, but it doesn't make it any closer to.
No, it's not it doesn't directly address the issues. It just tries to clarify what the issues are and what we have to do to get them addressed.
Okay. And Jack, this is Phil Robb. I was just going to say I traded emails with Scott yesterday, and he's probably looking at sometime next week, possibly towards the end of the week before he'll have something out.
All right, great. Thank you.
Okay. Just a quick comment. I think where we are pretty clear on what exactly some of the issues are right now. It's getting dangerously close to the stage where we're going to have to consider stopping code contributions until we get clarity from our side.
Yeah, I understand. But we've been talking about it a lot, so it's not that... I don't think it's that anyone doesn't understand many of the issues. It's getting us to a point where we can move this forward. So I'll highlight it again at the EC meeting, but they get very consumed with the board activities and budgets are hard to fight sometimes. All right, but that's where we're at. If Jinri was here, he might have other information. All right, let's move on to ORAN-related business. Jinri's not here. Does anyone else have anything to cover from an ORAN perspective?
Just a quick update. I think we published the blog on the LFN website. So that of the bronze release post. So we reposted it.
Okay.
Yep.
That took a lot longer than
we, yeah.
Yeah.
It should have.
All right. It's just a sign of how slowly things are moving in the back and forth between the different approval processes. It's been a tough year. All right, let's see, where are we? We're down to old business and the OCU. It's listed under old business. Sugu, are you on today? They are not as quite early because they're West Coast based. I saw the post for them stepping in as the PTL for the OCU replacing Ying Ying, who moved on to another assignment. Does anyone have any issues with naming Sugu as the as the replacement up to our next election for the OCU? Okay, so Jinri's not here, but we need to kind of take this to a vote. Does anyone want to make a motion to accept Sugu to as the new PTL for the OCU?
Hey Jack, this is Ganesh. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Ganesh. Do I have a second?
This is your second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Asahemi saying aye.
William says aye.
David saying aye.
Paul says aye.
All right, all those against say nay. All right, you know, we will be addressing, you know, next beginning of April, we should be running, you know, an election cycle for renewing the elections for the key positions in the TSC as well as the PTLs. You know, we have to, you know, kind of talk about how we, you know, how we want to handle that mid release process. Do we want to have, you know, the elections and then the elections take effect going into the e-release? So at least that gives us some overlap time for the people who, if there are elected changes to roles and responsibilities, it gives us some overlap and some preparation time going into the e-release. And then the new roles will take effect as of the e-release, which would be approximately June. That seems to me to be a reasonable kind of process. It's a little long of an overlap, but it's I think it takes time for people to hand off work, and at the same time, handing off in the middle of a release is kind of complicated. If any of that happens, and at that time, positions like this will be looked at. I think right now the OCU is a major gap area for pulling together a working stack for the ORAN, you know, software community and the testing environment and things like that. So we really have some issues here to address in this space going forward, and hopefully Sugu can help in that, moving that dialogue forward, and then we'll make the decisions at that time. All right, any other questions or thoughts on the on a timeline I was talking about elections and things? All right. Probably we need to add to the open items planning for 2021 elections, so that we, you know, start working up to that when we come into next year. All right, cherry deliverable summary pages. Obviously, people did this for the face-to-face please make sure that as we move into finalization, that you update those pages with there are records of what the PTLs have, targeted doing, have done, what didn't get done. It's helpful to be able to go and read out for each of the individual projects. So any updates, please keep them current. All right, we already did kind of the release planning. So Ritwik, why don't you go ahead.
I'm gonna share quickly, Jack.
Yep.
Yeah, so we met with the security committee after the virtual face-to-face. We had an action item. And essentially, they are requesting us to conform to the CII badge passing requirement. This is a long list. So what we suggested is, can we pick one item, maybe one or two items out of this for the Dawn release? Each PTL needs to pick, I think, one or two items. Maybe the RSEC can decide. Like some of these things, like using Sonar Cloud scanning, if it's already, if you're already doing that, great. You can check off the item. But these are the recommended requirements for CII badge passing. And apparently they have different levels of badges, basic, medium, advanced, or something like that. So our recommendation is if each PTL can take a look and see for Dawn release, maybe pick one or two of this, then what happens is there is a form that needs to be filled out. So my suggestion is if Trishan can help to coordinate that form filling by getting the updates of the tasks for this badge passing requirement from each of the PTL, then he's essentially the caretaker of the CII badge passing. And since it's a Linux Foundation kind of an activity, he can then be responsible for, at what level of badging is each project obtaining. And so that would streamline the badge passing. And as we progress to E-release and F-release, maybe more of these items can be picked up. Don't want to burden the PTL to do all of this. Maybe just pick one. That's what David and I thought. And Amy Zuerko from the security committee also agreed with that. The only concern she had was that they had some experience doing this in ONAP. And what they found is that as PTLs exchange hands or people move around in assignments, the CII badging kind of falls apart because then there's only one person who knows how to do it, and then that person has moved on. It's difficult to have continuity. So that's why we're suggesting maybe if Trishan or someone like that from LF can take that responsibility of being the caretaker, then each PTL would adhere to one of these requirements for Dawn release and provide that update to him. And then there is a form that gets filled out. And in that web page, you would basically be able to see which project has attained the level of badging. So this was the action item I'm just reporting out, to the talk.
So when you think about these sub items, so picking two, you mean kind of picking, if you take the first bullet point 1.1 basics, so there are 13 requirements, you mean kind of picking the 13 together or picking one of those 13?
Picking one or two of those basics. Yeah.
Of those 13.
That's right. Yeah. I think
what we need, if we go down this, is this it's a nice list, but it has to kind of get turned into some kind of checklist.
Yeah.
Right. So that people can quickly see you have 13 basics, you have 9 change control, you have 6 to 13 quality control items.
And then you have reporting requirements, documentation, and things like that.
Yeah. Right. So, if we get a checklist of saying, which, for all the projects, which ones have completed which tasks, is there, is it just, it's been a while since I looked at this.
The way you're talking, it's like there are levels to this badging process.
Yeah. There are different levels on the CII badge based on the like I think it's the different tiers. It's based on the requirements. So you get the basic, and then it kind of goes on and adds to it. One way to maintain it is we could potentially create like a table with the checklists on the ORAN SC wiki that we can maintain. That way, if PTL changes, that we can still have that continuity there. Mm-hmm. And then we update. I can take care of, if you need to, the main CII website. But we usually do it at the main project and not at each sub-project. But let me check on that.
When you say main project, main project.
ORAN SC would get the badge.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah.
But I think the goal is if we can't get to at least, you know, like the first basic step of the badge, you know, it kind of diffuses the value of doing all the work, right?
Yeah.
So that as a group, we need to focus on those thresholds and get everybody over each of those different thresholds so that the so that we can really address that we're, you know, that we have that badge and we're moving forward with that badge.
Okay, so I'll sit with Amy once more and see maybe.
Maybe if you'd sync up with me offline, let's connect and maybe grab some time on my calendar and we'll work through a process for this.
Sounds good. All right, great, Christian.
Yep.
Okay. So I had. Yeah, Jack.
Yes, just kind of. Sorry, got pinged for something. All right, let's get back to my share. Why isn't it? Can you see my screen again?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So Ritwick, you know, how are we on track for getting early work done on the D release requirements? Is there getting feedback and guidance? Are we well aligned with ORAN interests, ORAN Alliance interests?
Yeah, the latest picture is really what was read out in the face-to-face meeting. I think that's where you saw all the epics from all the individual PTLs. I guess we are aligned, barring the OCU issue, but the specific specifications for, say, Working Group 3, I think we're almost aligned, except the traffic steering XAP that we are building, that will not have an E2 service model defined by the November train. So the work is still ongoing, and they expect to have a service model by the February or March train now. So since Cherry kind of falls in the middle, it comes out in June, we may be able to use the service model that is there in the March train.
The pre-release model. Right.
No, March train should have the spec version of the E2 service model for traffic steering and
fuel. Well, that would be the D release, you mean, then?
I don't see that's the thing. Yeah, I don't know whether they can use the March version and finish the traffic steering XAP using that service model, or will it be too late for them to commit the code?
Yeah, but you said Cherry for C.
Sorry, for D release. Yeah.
That's what I was trying to get clarification.
Yeah.
Right.
that's the only thing. And I think other things, there are some changes with E2AP and things like that that is being proposed today. So we'll see how that goes, what changes that come out in the November train.
But what is the major...
The control action.
The control action for the E2 interface.
That's right, yeah. I mean, we've done the...
About control action on the A1 or the O1. I just try... Cause you
control action on the E2, right? You do the analytics and then you turn it around to an action on the user to hand off from one cell to another.
All right.
That last bit. So in MWCLA, what we showed is the other part, the analytics part, getting the data, pushing it into analytics framework. And I think what we want to do is close the loop with that. Then you'll have a full loop running.
For E2, right?
Off E2.
Right. Now, is there a full loop running for O1 and A1 activities?
Martin, I think you'll have to answer this. There are some aspects of O1 that they're able to control. There are some models that are getting verified, information models that are getting verified, young models, I think, that are getting verified in the SMO project. So I don't know, when you say close the loop, there is no... So the only control XAP is really the traffic steering XAP, right? Where you have the full loop analytics and the control action. The others are essentially directives. So you want to change a parameter using O1CM. It's like that, right? It's not analytics and then do O1CM.
That's correct. So currently we get the alarm list and those kind of things. And most of the problem is, as everybody knows already, that we cannot contribute really much based on the young models from 3GPP. That's what currently happened in the O-RAN alliance, that the information model and data models are looked at it, and there are contributions from O-RAN towards 3GPP in order to fix some of the findings in the 3GPP models. But we depend here very much on 3GPP. That's one of the main issues. So, but there's, I would not call it control loop. Yeah. So even we are now able, and that's what we will demonstrate here also in December, that we get all the PM data via 3GPP XML file format into the SMO and can could process it, but there's no application really taking an action on this.
Well, we really, you know, the thing is, we really need to take a look broader than just the E2. We really need to look at, you know, the actions. I know they may not all be technically control loops in that sense, but they are feedback or action driven. To make it really useful, we have to be able to get both the read and write kind of functionality in place. So even if it's not all there, I just would like to see a breakdown of where we are in implementing that capability a little clearer, and just say, look, we're making progress on these items for the D release, and we expect to do these items in the E release. But over the course of next year, those two releases, we need to get to a working demonstrable system that exercises that full range of control. Otherwise, you know, it will be, you know, we're sliding too far out for the impact and the value for people. We got to be able to demonstrate that we have the interfaces working in both directions, and that we have the basic models and capabilities are working, you know, over the course of next year. Otherwise, I think we've missed our
target. Right, but I think this is already there since Emma and Bronx. So everybody can configure and do something based on the interfaces of O1, or at least of what should be an O1 interface. and we could demonstrate that already. So I think we're good in that sense. What is, from my point of view, missing is really taking an action and doing a closed loop based on an alarm or something, or based on performance data.
Right, and that, so part of the checklist is we've completed them for at least 01, but then what pieces are left? I just think we need to look at that whole area a little clearer, Ritwik, as the capabilities we're trying to lay out, and so that everybody can see what we've done, where we're at, what we're going. But you know, all that functionality, we only have two releases, you know, next year. I want to make sure we're making enough progress to really get those areas addressed.
You're really asking for a 01 CMPM kind of a control loop, right? Maybe via an RAP with the A1 policy.
For 01, A1, and E2, which are the three interfaces that we're spending a lot of time on creating and documenting, that we need to be able to demonstrate, you know, what percentage of functionality that people need to start using these out in real systems, right? Mm-hmm. So what is that checklist of functionality that needs to be demonstrated to show that they're, that we have at least, you know, useful capabilities, and that we can build a system with those interfaces and exercise them and show them working?
I understand your request. I think it's also dependent on the O1 and the O2 spec that comes out, right? You're kind of following those specs, right? If the specs provide the visibility as to what capabilities are being advertised, then we can say how much of that is being done in OSC.
Right, but I think, the fact of what OSC needs in these two releases can help maybe bring some feedback to those groups saying, we, you know, by the E release, we need these things defined, right? So we communicate back to them too what we need to accomplish in the next two releases. I'm just afraid, concerned
that is there, Jack, but
we're too short term in our ask of them, that they understand what we need to be successful as well.
What is your viewpoint on the MVP issue, Jack? Because I think if the Orion Alliance is providing an MVP plan, then OSC needs to execute on that plan, right? So essentially I was thinking, you know, we already have some control loops that are being exercised using A1 and E2. You also have the health check use case and the small young model verification. If the MVP provides us a secondary requirement, okay, now we should do network slicing, then that would be your O1 use case, if you like. You know, we could use that MVP plan and drive the deficit, essentially, what we need to see out of e-release. Well, that's kind of my hope, but I think the MVP is still a little murky. It's still
that's somewhat of the problem, but I agree with the MVP bringing focus, but my concern is that we, you know, each release we're focusing so on such a narrow piece that the whole solution doesn't really work because we're just focusing on, you know, very narrow pieces. So I just want you to spend a little time looking at the breadth of the solution to make sure
we're covering all the angles.
That we're covering enough capability for it to be useful to somebody, right? Mm-hmm. The MVP kind of tells you what areas they're interested in, but you know, if there is a key feature that they have to have, and without that, it, you know, no matter how much it does, the other 9 items, I mean, the 10th item has to be there, and we don't have the 10th item, it's still not very useful to them, right? So I just want to make sure that we, you know, ask that question to make sure we're covering that specifically around the three interfaces, which is a big emphasis of the work, right?
Okay.
Those open interfaces are key. There's the other interfaces too, but I think it's just important. All right.
Yeah. I think, Ritwik, what I think what is necessary is that we exchange topology information of the RAM, A1 topology, E2 topology, and O1 topology between the slow parts and the non-real-time rig part. Right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Mahesh, John, maybe you agree or don't agree, but if we would have those exchange of those data between all the parties on SMO level, then we could really do some close loop action.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. One of the other, in fact, the main thing I think that we're also missing is any node in the RAN producing some monitoring data that we can use to drive some kind of a loop or use case. I can't see that coming from the simulated functions. I'm not sure that just alarm type data coming up from DRU would be useful either. Maybe for some use cases. Yeah, PM. Again, something maybe coming from the near real-time rig, something, anything at all. It doesn't even have to be real data, just something to flush the pipes, some data coming up for PM.
Yeah. I think that's why we're trying to set the system up so that at least a functional system is working, you know.
Yeah.
Without all the pieces working, it's very difficult to get any of this PM data, right? So now with the RU and the DU interacting and with the CU, you should hopefully be able to attach users and get this PM. And that's really been the struggle. We're doing all these use cases in piece parts because you don't have a full functional end-to-end stack. Right. And to get that full functional end-to-end stack, you need to kind of do these little projects to make sure that they're all aligned and then go to the next step of making it, you know, more sophisticated. I think we're getting there in C release at least. But yeah, I take your point, John. And Jack, I'll think about the...
Yeah, we desperately need some monitoring data from the CU and DU, especially.
Yeah.
That's all I want to make sure is we're having a rich conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to focus on, you know, the specific examples, but I don't want to miss the broader needs. So please, teams, push, you know, get to Ritwick things that we really need to make the whole system a little bit more functional as part of this activity. All right, mm-hmm. We've kind of covered the hour at this point. You know, it's been a good conversation. Felix, is there anything quick that you want to raise at this point?
I just want to keep a highlight of agenda items that we are going to talk about in the coming meeting. So we are going to talk about the project deployment plans as well as collecting the end-to-end testing documentations. And so for the TTLs, if you can, please stay. And the meeting will be good.
Okay. So there's a integration and test meeting directly following this meeting. I'll hand off the meeting to Felix once we close this meeting. Any other business that we need to raise before we close the meeting for today? All right, we'll spend a little more time next week on some of these items in wrapping up this release and requirements. I'd like to hear a little bit more on where we are with the documentation. And how we can bring a package together that documents, like, where does someone get started with the Cherry release, and you know, kind of the overview introduction for the documentation is important. All right. With that, last call for any other business. Then I'll go ahead and close the meeting for the ORAN software community for November 4th. We can stop the recording, and I'll stop sharing, but I will then pass the meeting over to Felix for the integration and test meeting. Thank you all for joining today.
Thank you.